وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them to many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. This past weekend, myself and Rahim and Omar Nasser, we had the chance to take a trip up to Montreal, Canada. And I felt that our trip, inshallah ta'ala, was a successful one, and that there was some benefit in our trip, and that we would share it, inshallah ta'ala, as a part of our class tonight, the Tazkiyatun Nufus. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a safar qita'atun min al-'adhab, that traveling is a part of punishment. And nowadays, we don't see it all the time. As we get on a plane and in 1 hour you're in Montreal, or less than an hour. You know, a seven hour ride in 1 hour. And we think that nowadays, traveling, there's no burden in it. You just get on the plane and land there. But the truthfulness of the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be that way all the way until Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's going to be that way all the way until Yawm al-Qiyamah, as we saw quite a few difficulties on our trip. And the main one was that they delayed us in the airport until we missed Salatul Jumu'ah. So you can imagine that even nowadays, with the customs and people being aware of the Muslims and so on and so forth, that even your travel nowadays can be difficult. And what we benefit from this is that Islam is going to be here, that the verdicts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has laid down for us, and the guidance and the advice from the Sunnah and from the Qur'an, that they're going to be here, and it's the truth until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And there's no time to come where humanity would be without need of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As some people think that the Sunnah or verses from the Qur'an, it don't apply to us. Or that applies if you live in 1400 years ago in the desert somewhere. This deen is going to apply for all times and all places until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And even if everything doesn't affect us, that some things will affect us. And for certainty, I used to be the first one who always felt that, how is there any punishment in traveling, especially in our times? And on this trip we saw that for sure, even nowadays you can have your difficulties in traveling. When we got there, the brothers, Alhamdulillah, they treated us very kindly from the time that we got to the door of the masjid for the rest of our journey. They treated us like brothers. and that most of them, they were Arabs. And in America, we're taught all of this racism, and we've been raised up on racism and division and separation. And it was nice for us, alhamdulillah, to be invited to a place, and the majority of them were Arabs, and everyone had treated us so kindly, alhamdulillah. And this is proof of the statement of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that the believers are brothers, and that there's no difference from one race of Muslims to another race, and that all of us, alhamdulillah, we can live in harmony, practicing Islam and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided that we understand Islam and we practice Islam. And this was definitely, alhamdulillah, and we'll get into it a little more, a sign that the brothers up there, that they were on the sunnah as they treated their guests kindly. And when we see that us here, we can begin to practice Islam, to learn the character of Islam, and to treat one another like brothers, then Iman will really have entered into our heart when we can practice the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that none of you truly believe to your love for your brother what you love for yourself. And some of the ulama, they say that, as we heard in our days today, that this is the most difficult hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the people to practice. And this is the biggest test for the people who say that they're on the sunnah. If you're on the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you really believe in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this deen, then prove it by loving for your brother what you love for yourself. And when we reach that level, then we can see that inshallah ta'ala, we're on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we were real grateful and thankful that we had a chance to interact with the brothers up there, and we had a nice time, alhamdulillah. Their sessions were very intense. There were 6 lessons in 2 days. We started Friday night and ended Sunday morning, and there were 6 classes. Really, there were 7, and one of them, I just made it a general talk with the brothers. But in those 6 classes, alhamdulillah, we had covered the aqidah of Imam al-Bukhari in the fullest detail, as the aqidah of Imam al-Bukhari is just 9 short points. And each point could be 1 sentence long, or less than a sentence, as he says on the first point, the deen is a statement in action, point number 1. Point number 2, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and not created. Point number 3, and each point was like that. And you can imagine covering the detail in 6 classes. This detail, like this, inshallah ta'ala, is benefit for the Muslims. And this intensity, inshallah, of the study of the Qur'an and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this deen is good for us. However, that type of intenseness and covering that amount of material in a short time, it's difficult for us to handle. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, in Surah Al-Isra, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقَنَاهُ لِتَقَرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثِ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and we have sent the Qur'an down in parts, so read it to them in stages over a period of time. And we have revealed this Qur'an over a period of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who taught us that this deen can't be learned in a weekend. And I'm not saying this to down the program, as we have told the brothers that there's some benefit, inshallah ta'ala. But when they question us if we had something to say, we would say that this, it is better that in our masjids that we have classes going weekly or daily, so that the people can learn their deen little by little and get a chance to practice what they learn and to understand what they learn, so they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on clear guidance. And we see, alhamdulillah, in our masjid that we have classes regularly, alhamdulillah, and we can see ourselves, inshallah, growing little by little. And this is how we learn Islam. And if we have a lecture or a major topic or maybe a conference or something of that type of intensity, then we know that it has its place and its benefit, as we can benefit from the scholars coming into our area. But we have to know too, on top of that, that this deen isn't going to be learned in one lecture or one weekend or a seminar or what have you, a series of 15-week class
or whatever, but this deen is going to be learned over our lifetime. As it was learned for the Messenger of Allah ﷺ and his companions over their lifetime. As the Prophet ﷺ was learning this deen, as Allah Ta'ala was revealing this Quran to him in stages over the period of 23 years until he died, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that this deen came little by little. And this is how we have to understand that this deen is going to be learned overnight. And that we don't need to be too hasty with ourselves, or more importantly, with the brothers. And this sometimes it seems like we're being too easy on the people, or you're playing with Islam, or you're taking Islam too lightly when you say that, don't worry about it, inshallah, over time, the brother will get it down, or I'll get it down. All of this is okay, alhamdulillah. I'm not saying that it's okay for someone to be disobedient to Allah or to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or that we're not supposed to believe in Allah, or don't worry about it if they don't believe in Allah, if they don't believe in the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We're not saying that, but what we're saying is that this deen is going to be learned over a period of time. And that we need to understand that and to know that ourselves and the brothers, we're going to be on different levels, and everyone, inshallah, doing their best to worship Allah and learn this deen and to practice this deen. And when we see that, we see the beauty of Islam, alhamdulillah. That brother, mashallah, he's on that level, and we wish we can be like him. And that brother, he's a little less than us, and we try to advise him and to bring him up to our level, and to understand that the Muslims are going to be on different levels, and that Islam isn't learned overnight. And this is important for us to understand when we're calling the people to Islam, or when we're learning Islam ourselves, that there's no crash course and it's over with, you know Islam. And I saw it recently when I told the brothers that I wanted to teach a class for the da'is in order to help the brothers go out and to give the da'wah and to spread it. Everyone was very eager, as if he thinks he's going to sit in a 15-week class or 2 months or whatever, learn the whole deen. MashaAllah, I got it now, I'm finished, I'm ready to go out and give it to the people. But that this deen is ongoing, and we have to learn it little by little, and we take advantage of as much opportunity as we can get a chance to take advantage of. We found there that there was a large group of Haitians who accepted Islam. And we have a large group of Haitians here in our community, and they haven't accepted Islam. And it was very ironic to see that how many Haitians have accepted Islam. And I think it shows us that these people here, these Haitian disbelievers, that we think that it's impossible for them to enter Islam. Well, we just came from a place where we saw them enter into Islam in large numbers. Alhamdulillah. So this shows that there's still more work for us in calling the people to Islam. And it's not impossible for anyone to accept this deen. That no one's too far gone to accept Islam except the people who are dead. I mean, once they're buried and it's over with, I mean, you can't go to the graveyard and beg them to accept Islam, to come back and practice it, because it's over. But when the people are living, it's not over with. And this benefits in our lives to show us that we need to be patient at calling people to Islam. And if someone doesn't accept Islam the first time we call them to Islam, that there's always tomorrow or the next time, until that person dies, that we call them to Islam, and there's always a chance for that person to accept Islam. And when we understand this, it makes us more patient, inshallah ta'ala. But it shouldn't make us procrastinators by saying that I won't tell him right now, accept Islam right now, repeat after me. Because you say, well, I'll tell him tomorrow, he's not too eager. No, call him and command him right there on the spot. And be a little forceful, telling him this will save you right now, akhi. If he doesn't, then you can let up and say, well, there's always tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow until he dies. But we should always be eager to call the people to Islam every chance we get, and to know that everyone could accept Islam. What has saddened us about all of those Haitians that had accepted Islam was that there was someone from among Farrakhan's people who went up there and dropped that garbage And the people took it. And they left the masjid and went to wherever they went to, joining those people. And I heard that he got some numbers of the Muslims. And that the only way he got those numbers from among the Muslims, of course, is that the Muslims didn't really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a real belief. Otherwise, they would have never went for that garbage. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the believers, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا from Surah Al-Hujurat. The real believers, the only believers, are the ones who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and they never since doubted. Once you heard this truth and you knew it was the truth, there's no doubt. People can bring you any program they want to bring you. It can sound as good as any program can sound. It can sound better if your knowledge is limited of Islam. It could even sound better than Islam to you. But because of your sincerity and your real belief, you know that this is the truth. And you know if something sounds better, that the shaitan is just playing with you, making it seem as if something is better than the truth. And we know it from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have forgot, and we were reminded recently by one of the brothers, alhamdulillah, that the Prophet ﷺ taught us that the hellfire is going to be surrounded by beautiful things, alluring and attractive things. It's going to surround the hellfire, and difficulty and hardship is going to be surrounding Jannah. So much so that Jibreel alayhi salam, he thought that who would not enter Jannah, who would not enter the hellfire because of its attraction? And that how in the world would people enter Jannah if they knew the difficulty that they had to go through to enter into Jannah? So the real believers who believe in Islam, they understand that it's going to be a difficult road getting to Jannah, and the reward is going to be great. And that the road to the hellfire is an easy little simple road, just jump right in. It's going to be alluring and attractive. Astaghfirullah. أعوذ بالله من النار. أعوذ بالله من النار. That attraction, and you know this people with their speech, as the Prophet ﷺ, he had taught us that indeed from a person's explanation of his delivery is some magic. And definitely you see in Farrakhan and those people, they have been for decades now practicing and getting down the science of delivery for their speech, and you find most of them to be among the finest speakers point blank, as this is the only way that they can get paid, is by deceiving and tricking the people. Because if the people knew that garbage and the reality of it, everybody would stay away from them. So they mastered this magic in order to get the people. And the only thing that's going to stop the real believers from that is knowledge, as knowledge is in opposition to this doubt. And knowledge opposes that doubt. And the more knowledge and we gain of this deen, and certainty we gain in our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will prevent us from being tricked with all of this doubtful garbage that the disbelievers come and present to the Muslims and get the Muslims. As we hear, unfortunately, some Muslims are going for this million man march, as if they're going to benefit. And I heard the people, the disbelievers, they said, for my family, it's going to be a good thing. They're calling for black men to get themselves together, for family values and stuff and all of that stuff. I said, oh, so all you have to do is pay your money, make so-and-so rich, who set up that million-dollar man march, and then when you come back home, you're going to have businesses in your community, you're going to have houses, you're going to have good family structure, no drugs, no ignorance, all of that stuff is going to be over by making somebody else rich, by putting your money down and going and making a fool of yourself going to Washington. And then if the people come to their senses when you just tell them, subhanallah, you've seen it already before, in the 60s. Everybody thought, as Malcolm X, rahimullah, he was telling the people, you are going to Washington to tear that place down. I'm not leaving till we get our rights. You went in, you was out before sunset, and wasn't nothing changed. You were in worse circumstances after that than before you were, and your leaders were fatter and richer and more sellout than they were before the march. And wallahi, this march isn't going to be any different than the next one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidance in this Quran, salvation from the hellfire, the way to Jannah, the way to live the best life in this world. And nothing in the Quran and the Sunnah says go march on Washington or march on any other place. It says repent to Allah, turn to Allah, submit to Allah. This is what's going to make the people successful, not going to march. And the Muslims have been deceived with this word, well, we're going to help our community. Our community, what community are you talking about? The community of Kufar? That you're going to help the Kufar be better Kufar. I'm going to give my money to make him a better Kufar, because at least if he's a Kafir and he has his own business in his own community, he's going to be better off. Tell me how in the world his business and his community is going to save him from the hellfire. And really, I'm sad that the Muslims have been deceived into thinking there's guidance in other than the Quran and the Sunnah. And if we don't increase our knowledge in the Quran and the Sunnah and our practice, and this is just as important or more important, our practice of what we have learned from the Quran and the Sunnah, anybody can come with anything, get our money, get our mind, get our deen, and lead us right to the hellfire. And we say, oh, that's the way to the hellfire. Okay, I'll march with you. And pay him to lead you to the hellfire. How in the world can you pay someone to take you to the hellfire? Going to take me to the hellfire. How much is it? $75? Okay, no problem. We should try to tell the people, the Muslims, and warn them from this deviance of going to march and thinking that there's some benefit for somebody's community. We're a community of Muslims. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best community raised out for humanity. Why? Why are the Muslims the best community? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Because you enjoin what is right and you forbid what is wrong and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're forbidding the Muslims from going to practice any type of deviance. And on the top of that right now is that march to Washington. Because you don't know how many Muslims can go down there and hear that magic and happen to them what happened to the Haitians in Montreal. That they sat there and they listened to it as someone came talking about, yeah, I'm your brother. Yeah, you remember, we go way back. We're from the same community. You know, we got to get this thing right. You know, the whole world is against us. The white man's dogging us out. You know, wherever country you are and so on and so forth. And everyone can relate to that. So because he can relate to that, he thinks it's okay to enter the hellfire. I can relate to that, might as well take the hellfire instead of Jannah. How can you take the hellfire instead of Jannah because you can relate to something? Yeah, I can relate to people drinking. I was raised up in it. I can relate to people taking drugs. I can relate to fornication, adultery, stealing. All of us, we were involved in that. We can relate to it. We can relate to everything, all of the vices of this society, we can relate to it because we left them yesterday. That means we're going to go back to it because we can relate to it. And anybody that comes with us with this type of talk that we can relate to, we're going to go with. At least he's saying something I can relate to. That brother over there, he's an Arab, I can't even relate to him. He can't relate to me. How he can't relate to you if he quote the ayahs from the Quran? The ayahs from your Lord. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He don't have to know nothing about your situation to relate to you if he's coming from Quran and Sunnah. What do you need to know about your life? Do you know more about your situation than your Lord who created you? And Allah tells us, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ. Doesn't the one who created, doesn't he know? He created all of us, he knows all of our situations. And if someone knows the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows the situations of the people. He knows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows the situation of the people. And he has with him that which can guide the people to Jannah and save the people from the hellfire. Maybe he don't know the intricacies of their particular problems, but he definitely has the solution with him when he says, Qala Allah such and such. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such and such. And if he teaches you that, then you have to learn that Quran and the Sunnah and then apply it to your circumstances. If you know your circumstances better than the next person, the only thing that's going to benefit any of us is the Quran and the Sunnah. Okay, if somebody brings the Quran and the Sunnah to you and he doesn't know your circumstances, then you learn that Quran and that Sunnah and you practice it in your life and you let it benefit your circumstances. And this is what is meant when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets to their people as they knew their circumstances. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the people to their people to give the da'wah. Not just because he knew them, Because they knew the revelation firstly, then they knew the people. But if they knew the people with no revelation, no Quran and no Sunnah, what is it going to benefit? What is it going to benefit? If it could benefit something, Jesse Jackson and those Kafirs could benefit the people. Are they going to benefit them without calling them to Islam? They've been around for decades, involved with the so-called struggle. Are they going to benefit the people? Those people in the struggle, still in the struggle, dying on kufr, going to the hellfire. And those people over all of these years who are more aware of the struggle, what is it going to benefit them or the people if they don't accept Islam? We need to know that our only way to be safe in this dunya and in the hereafter is to learn the Quran and the Sunnah. So that when people come with their programs and their tricks, we won't be fooled anymore. We can say, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I can relate to that. Accept this now, right now, or I'm going to give you glad tidings of the hellfire. That's it. He can present anything he can present to you. And Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he gave us advice. You tell me every time someone comes to you and he's more knowledgeable than you, or he's the most knowledgeable person, you're going to change your position and follow him? You won't have no position. Because there's always somebody smarter than the next man. And every time he comes, you with him. And then you with him. And then you with him. You with nobody. And you don't have any position and you're not standing on nothing. You're just a, I don't know what they call it, an imma.
Roamer.
Huh?
Roamer.
A roamer. A roamer. There's another word. I don't know, a person, he doesn't have his own position. He doesn't even have his own mind. He's just living on somebody else's minds and somebody else's dreams because they sound good. A leech or something. But we have to be aware of this. And alhamdulillah, this was guidance from Imam Malik rahimahullah to us. And it could be guidance for the people in general. In Islam, if someone, if he's a scholar, and then that scholar is more knowledgeable than that one, and then that one is more knowledgeable than that one, we ain't blindly following him because he's the most knowledgeable scholar. And then we're going to blind follow the next one because he's more knowledgeable than him. And then the next one because he's more knowledgeable than him. We're not blind following anyone because it's not a part of this deen of Islam. We're going to follow the people who bring to us the Quran and the Sunnah. And then it doesn't make a difference how knowledgeable someone is. His knowledge means that he can only bring you more guidance from the Quran and the Sunnah. More guidance from your Lord and more guidance from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that he's only a tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used to help get you closer to Allah and farther from the hellfire. So we have to see, just as we saw there in Montreal, and I think it was a lesson for us, that the same thing can happen to us. We accepted Islam yesterday or before yesterday, and that people can come with a program strong and take us off of Islam. As one of the brothers had told me about this program of Farrakhan and that deviance, that a brother called him to Islam. Akhi, you still in that black struggle stuff? Akhi, man, stuff is over with. We got Islam. We going to Jannah. Nix that stuff. He bring the person to Islam, and then the person leave Islam, go back to that stuff. Yeah, I realized Islam wasn't the truth, and that I should have been in the struggle all along. And I'm sorry I took you out of the struggle and put you on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Get off that straight path and come back to this deviance that we used to be on. And that could be any one of us. And what makes us better than the next person? Except that we have knowledge of this deen and practice of this deen and taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should let this be a lesson to us to always constantly try to increase our knowledge of this deen and our action in accordance to this knowledge of this deen. Or we can just go off and be astray just as the people who came before us. And also we see something in the seeking knowledge, the importance of the people of knowledge. As those people, when they accepted Islam, there were people teaching them Islam, obviously. And when somebody came with that old wax stuff that they came with and it sound good, you go back to the people of knowledge. You brought Islam to us, it's the truth, but we heard something that sound real good. What do you think about it? I think it's foolishness, let me tell you how. Then he can say, oh, subhanAllah, he almost got me. And I remember, it almost happened to me shortly after my Islam, when Farrakhan came out with that power program. And he took it to Madison Square Garden. And Allahu Akbar. And I went and I remember, you know, it sounded real good. He began with Fatiha, quoted in Arabic. I was like, man, I knew it. After that, he just bought all of that garbage, but he began with Fatiha and said, I know. Took his little fake shahada and stuff. Got you in the beginning. You was down. And then he said, put your $10 out. Anybody put their money out? I don't know how much money he got. But I know one thing. There ain't nothing in nobody's community from all that money we gave in Madison Square Garden. Nothing. You look all the way around America, there's no donation to the black community for all that money we put out for that power program. And that was in Madison Square Garden. You think of all of the tapes and stuff that was sold. Ain't nothing in the whole America or the dunya donated to the black man or any other man for that money. And you look, even if you want to look back to the time of Master Fard the Kafir and everybody else that went with that, that are still with that until today, ain't nothing been donated to the black community. Nothing. Somebody want to show something they donated to the black community? They say, yeah, we put a store in your community. And we put the highest prices and we took your money and we went and moved out to the white community with your money. That's all we can see from all of that money put down for the so-called struggle of the black man. All we saw was people getting fat and living large. And there ain't none of that money go back to nobody's community. And don't think just because the store is in your community and you buy from it means that your money is standing in your community. He owned it. He don't live in your community. He got all of that money to get out of your community. Akhi, we got to get out of these projects. And he made that money from you and he out. And really, we have to see the importance of holding fast to the ulama and to the people of knowledge, that when somebody comes up with a program and it sounds good, that we can't just go for that stuff. We have to go back to the people who know the Quran and the Sunnah and ask them, what do you think about this? And I remember I came home and I said to Zaid Shakir, when I was there at the time, I said, Zaid, I think the brother got you. Farrakhan is on the truth and y'all brothers are just mistaken. He said, you know I'm not going to listen to that tape because that magic might get me like it got you. But since you already got tricked by the magic, listen to it again and see if the magic is still as powerful. Listen to it and see what guidance is that man bringing you from your Lord or from your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I listened to the tape again. Wallahi, he ain't no guidance from the Quran or from the Sunnah. Yeah, he read Fatiha. You got Fatiha down, all of the believers. And we ask Allah to answer our du'as from reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Was there any guidance outside of that? No. Get your money, let me get fat, and that was it. And that's all that took place. And if you listen back to that magic again, after someone of knowledge who knows his deen tells you, tries to put you on point, then you'll see all of that foolishness. And we have to see this in our deen, that not to be so hasty by whoever comes out with something. As we saw in this issue that's ending now, inshallah ta'ala, this issue of Masjid al-Dhirar, that people just came with anything, it sound good, and you just go for it. But we have to know that the people of knowledge and the people who know the Quran and the Sunnah, that we have to hold fast to them and getting that from the Quran and the Sunnah, and not to let any old body come up with anything. Anybody can say this ayat or that ayat and use a little stuff to trick you. As Farrakhan used the whole surah and got us. Some people just use the ayat. Oh, akhi, you hear this ayat? Oh, you going to let anybody tell you? He's the one giving you anything, and he's going to chase you away from the people of knowledge. Oh, so you're just blindly following that man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to ask the people of knowledge when we don't know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoke highly of them and praised them, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke highly of the people of knowledge and praised them and commanded us to hold fast to them. And this is what we have to do, and not to be tricked by what anybody comes to us with, anything they come to us with. And we have to be aware of that, otherwise it could happen to us, that which happened to the people up there. Which was good about the conference there in Montreal was that it was in the masjid. And we know of the conferences in America, they're in the hotels of the kuffar. And the kuffar who own the hotels, they work in them. And they give you the kufr in the conference. Like, to give an example, we went to a conference, they had a Christmas tree bigger than this masjid in the lobby. And you know how big those hotels are, and you can imagine how big the Christmas tree is, like this masjid, bigger than this musalla, how wide that Christmas tree is. And they told us on Christmas Day when the conference was going on, we won't serve you. We ain't bringing you no towels. We ain't changing no sheets. We ain't doing nothing. You got that? This our holiday. We ain't Muslims. We Kafirs. And we ain't serving y'all nothing. Everybody complaining. One thing they did, they took the $70,000 from the Muslims. They told us that it cost $70,000 they made from us with no service. And they ain't telling before. They told us today, Christmas Eve or whatever. You know, tomorrow's our holiday. You got that? And we ain't serving you nothing. And you should be grateful we let you in our hotel. And we was. And that's how bad the Muslims are. And another one I always mention, we were on a Christian plantation in the South. Steeple, the whole nine yards, giving a lecture on Wala and Bara. Allegiance to the Muslims and separation from the disbelievers. On the door is a big cross. I don't know the name of that denomination. I got the shield and then got the cross, the colored and the sign, Episcopalian or something. You go in the door, you got to look at the cross, go in the door, try to cover your eyes, and then say, yeah, we're supposed to be separate from the people who got this, who place we in. You go in, the children running around the cross, they got the steeple, and it looked like the big plantation house or something. They got a cross, like, I don't know how many feet tall. The Muslims got their wives and their children walking around. Everybody see that cross up there? Wallahi, if Allah sent Isa down, he would have been breaking us down. We would have been right there when he was breaking the cross. Right in the building, he breaking down the door. What's going on? That's Isa ibn Maryam. We right in there. So it was real nice to be in a conference held in the masjid. A conference held in the masjid. The food was served by the Muslims. We all sat together, you know, like we know in Ramadan, you set out the long spread. Everybody's right by one another. Everybody's there eating in the masjid on the floor, alhamdulillah, with the Muslims. So it was nice to be there in the masjid, trying to practice some sunnah and calling the people to the sunnah, as opposed to these plantations that are owned by the Christians and the Kafirs and these hotels that take all of our money and give us bad service, but that we were in the masjid. And it was very proper that it was in that masjid, as there were about 20 masjids in Montreal, and every masjid on its own program. And this masjid that we was in was called Masjid al-Sunnah. An-Nabawiyyah, Masjid of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was proper that the Sunnah was being practiced and implemented, and we had our conference there, and it was just so good to be in a masjid called the Masjid of the Sunnah, where the Imam and the people in leadership were on the Sunnah and they were in charge, and there are people in the area who don't want to be on the Sunnah, of course. But the leadership was in charge. And the leadership was making the sunnah go forth, even if the people didn't want it. When you come to our masjid, you're going to get the sunnah, even if you don't want it. Take the sunnah if you don't like it. Practice the sunnah if you don't like it. Because we're going to let the sunnah go forth. And what was even better than that, was that the masjid of the sunnah was the biggest masjid in Montreal. Walhamdulillah. The Masjid of the Sunnah was the biggest masjid in Montreal, alhamdulillah. And this is the success that Allah gives to His servants. And this was advice for us, as inshallah we're trying to be a masjid on the Sunnah ourselves. And that it seems like the Sunnah is spreading. The Muslims are growing and learning and practicing this deen. And it's time for us, inshallah ta'ala, and the talk has been around for a little time, but now, inshallah, we're going to try to get a little more serious. We're going to try to encourage the believers to start to focus a little more, because inshallah ta'ala, if Allah makes us successful, we're going to move to a bigger place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's success is going to be on His righteous servants. So if we want a bigger place, and we want the Sunnah to spread, and we want Islam to grow, and we want to be the biggest headquarters for the Sunnah, then we're going to have to start tightening up our shop and our lives, and getting on this deen, watching our wealth and putting our wealth fi sabilillah, so that we can have the biggest masjid too in the area, and we'll be on the sunnah inshallah ta'ala. So let's just let this be some advice to us to start thinking seriously about moving into a bigger place, so that we can have the argument that all of the deviants use. As this is their biggest argument. At least our place is bigger than yours. and they say this. And really, they write. In one respect, as they chumping us off when they say, if y'all was serious about that stuff that y'all on, why ain't y'all dedicating yourselves to it like we dedicating ourselves to the stuff we on? You see how much we gave ourselves to this? This is how much we see is right. How much are we going to see that this sunnah we on is right? How much we going to give to see and what we on is correct? So it's going to be a test for us, inshallah ta'ala, and buckling down and trying to expand and to be bigger. But we're going to have to be tested just like the other people are tested. And if we have the success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they won't have an argument against the sunnah. Because we will tell them, okay, yes, we have the biggest place. If that's what you're looking for, we have it. Now get on the sunnah. Now that their last argument is finished with, come get on the sunnah. Their last argument is finished with, come get on the sunnah. And the next to the last argument I heard, astaghfirullah, was, where are the people who have something against us? The people of deviance. Where are the people who have something against us? We're in our places because they're bigger and better than yours. And we're going to call the people to the sunnah, and we don't have to be going to those big masjids, unfortunately, like some of the people on the sunnah everywhere. They're in hopes that they can get so-and-so's masjid who is on deviance. Man, if we only had a masjid like that. And we know how we say it about the people of deviance. If we only had a masjid like that, how do you think they got their masjid? With sacrifice. Sacrifice and hard work for deviance. And we can't even sacrifice and work hard for the truth. So I hope that what we saw, and I wish the believers could have saw how spacious that musalla was. When you just walk in and you just see, mashallah. And you can imagine what it, and we were unfortunate to have missed Jumu'ah, but you can imagine when that masjid is filled, and it's bigger than Brantford Place. And it's bigger than Brantford Place, and it's all going back in one direction, one big straight musalla. So you can imagine just all of those people on the sunnah, and what kind of presence that makes for the people there, and what kind of statement that makes for whatever area it's in. We're on the sunnah, inshallah, and this is the success that Allah gave us. So we should keep this in our minds, inshallah, to be an encouragement for us to start buckling up or whatever, tightening up shop, so that we can be ready, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be successful, to move to a bigger place. Lastly, inshallah ta'ala, was that the people who sponsored the conference, IANA, the Muslim Assembly of North America, and I think that's what it stands for, they've been in existence for about 4 years now, and they've been having conferences all around North America, and they've been bringing shuyukh in from all over the world in order to try to teach the Muslims in North America Islam. They had sat down with us, the President Bassem, Allah, he had sat down with us, and he had heard good reports about the brothers in East Orange and the da'wah that's being pushed from the Islamic Center of East Orange, Master Rawdatullah, and they were very pleased, and for this reason they had invited us there. It was from the suggestion who had mentioned us was Abu Amina Bilal Phillips, Hafizahullah, who had told them that if you want to be in touch with the indigenous Muslims or some of the indigenous Muslims of America who are on the sunnah, then you should go to East Orange. And if you're looking for some speakers, then you should try to pull the speakers from the East Orange brothers. as there are some brothers on the Sunnah, inshaAllah ta'ala. This is nice to hear. Alhamdulillah. And when we hear it, it shouldn't make us arrogant, but make us thankful. To make us thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us that type of place. And an encouragement for us to work harder, inshallah, for Allah's deen. Also, it shows us that that we need to work harder. Because if Allah is going to make us as it's seeming, and this was a step towards it, a center for giving da'wah in America, as they wanted to know how we can help them bring the da'wah to the indigenous Muslims of America, how we can have our bookstore expand in order to have the publications sent to everywhere in America. As we have went there, alhamdulillah, and the brother said we sold maybe about $800 worth of books, and there wasn't even a big crowd, because the people were just happy to have books on the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that there are many places in America that are ripe and ready and wanting to get on the Sunnah. And that if we're the people, inshallah, and we're going to bring the Sunnah to them, then we're going to have more workers. And that means that some of the brothers, and everybody works, and everybody, their family, inshallah, but everybody's going to have to look into their schedules and to find some time for this da'wah. Because this is the only way that it's going to spread. Everybody's happy here, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we're the center of da'wah in America. Everybody's looking at us. But that's nothing. That's just talk. And if you want to bring the da'wah to the people, then you're going to have to work hard. If the bookstore is going to be a distributor, and we have the ability to be a distributor, as we're known to a lot of places, and we can distribute books all around America, but we're going to need more than Omar Abdul Bahaf in the bookstore. Who's going to handle the phone calls? Who's going to handle the orders and doing the shipping and so on and so forth? So the brothers, they need to start looking at how they can give more time for this da'wah in order to spread it farther. Taping and making tapes, and money needed for the catalogs to be shipped and spread out over America, and so on and so forth. All of that time, effort, money, we need to look at ourselves and to see if we're ready for that move. And we weren't hasty at all with the brother by saying, yeah, mashallah, yeah, we know we got it like that, and anything you need, inshallah, we bring this da'wah to the whole dunya, because that would be out of place, you know, arrogance at first, and then knowing that we're not even working hard enough or deserving enough to even spread this da'wah all over America. We're not even really deserving. And people are looking at us as if we're better than we are. And we know that the people are looking at us in this manner. And we need to try to get ourselves together and tighten up shop and to get on this deen better, so that we can be as the people think we are, or even better than that. As Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he made the dua, O Allah, make me better than the people think I am. And how good do you think Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is radiallahu anhu? And this is our dua too. The brother Basim, inshallah, he said that if it's possible, then next week he might be in New York, and he might think of coming to visit our masjid and the school to see what we're doing and how we are trying to take care of business and spread the da'wah in our area. And I hope that if he comes, that the brothers, inshallah ta'ala, that we would give them the kind treatment and honor our guests as we should, inshallah ta'ala. And then to show them, inshallah, that yes, we want to work just as hard as you want to work. And we want to try to spread this deen in North America just like you want to spread this deen in North America. And that if we're going to be a masjid, inshallah ta'ala, that's going to spread Islam other than in its area. As you see that basically the masjids in America, that their da'wah is for their area only. You don't know the masjids where they're giving the da'wah elsewhere. What masjid is giving the da'wah other than to its masjid? Or maybe to some nearby prisons in the area or whatever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, as we see from this trip and the trip last week and some other trips that we haven't talked about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the Islamic Center of East Orange to have the da'wah that it spreads here in its area to be spread everywhere. Alhamdulillah, definitely up the East Coast, and then as we saw last week to Bermuda, and now up to Montreal, Canada. And of course the invitation from the brothers who came from Boston was there for us to visit Boston, and the brothers from Toronto to visit Toronto. And then there's just too many invitations, so many that we can't even handle them, because we're not ready to handle them. And we're not to the level that the people think we are. But inshallah, if we work harder, tighten up shop, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless us to be on that level. So we should just let this trip, inshallah, be advice to all of us that we need to get our acts together, benefit from what we've heard, what we've seen, and ask dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He can make us bigger and better, inshallah ta'ala, not just here in this area, but also in other areas in America. This was our trip to Montreal and some of the lessons that we learned while we were there. And we hope that inshallah ta'ala there was some benefit for the believers. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik wa alhamdulillah.